Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of the Daily Friend Wrap. I'm your host, Nicholas Larimer, today joined by Makone Maja. It's going to be our first news story of today. And there has been debate across the country, and I think pretty healthy debate for the most part, about how to fill the country's financial problems. Of course, the ANC has proposed a VAT increase, which has been reduced due to significant public opposition, but is still on the cards to come into effect next week. And other parties have come up with different ideas. So currently the EFF and DA are taking the procedure of increasing VAT in Parliament to court and are sort of unlikely allies fighting against that decision court. But what's important is the alternatives to what the VAT increase could be. So the DA has suggested, for example, that spending be cut on a variety of things. They said they might even support the VAT increase if there was a major spending review. This is something the ANC rejected. The EFF and MK have had very similar suggestions, by the way, have proposed a wealth tax. But an EFF Treasurer General speaking to the media said specifically that said wealth tax could be what the party called an apartheid tax, targeting people who inherited wealth during the era of oppression. The tax, the Treasurer General said, would offset the proposed 0.5 percentage point VAT hike. Quote, that will give you far more money than the 28 billion rand they are looking for, but it's easy to target the poor. We can't afford to put bread on the table. Imagine with the VAT increase, our people will die from poverty. The triple oppression of poverty, inequality, and unemployment is going to get worse. We are telling him, this is telling the finance minister, he doesn't need to increase VAT. He needs to tax the rich, introduce a wealth tax. There are many trusts that hold luxury properties that are not being taxed, but they use the portfolios to apply for loans at the banks. So it's sort of kind of confusing almost two separate ideas here. One is a tax on the wealthy, and the other is a tax on, I guess, people who inherited wealth during apartheid. I don't know, it's very vague. Makone, in terms of this actually being a solution to the country's financial shortfall, what do you make of it?
Far, far from it being a serious solution that we should consider. And sometimes it's hard to tell when the EFF is actually just trolling and shock jocking versus when they are making serious proposals about to solve the fiscus crisis that we're currently undergoing. One of the arguments we made to them in the letter that we had drafted to both the EFF and the MK about their resistance to supporting the VAT increase, which we lauded them for, and also submitted alternatives to raising taxes. One of the things we raised is that South Africa is already in a negative fiscal multiplier. This means that instead of for every 1 rand, South Africa getting maybe another 1 rand in GDP growth or even 20 cents in GDP growth, which would still be a marker of productivity that, you know, the government expenditure is being used towards growing the economy. Even if it's as little as 20 cents, right? We demonstrated that South Africa is actually in the negative, meaning that government expenditure is not resulting in growth. So increasing taxes is not going to fix that, because we have a big financial mismanagement crisis in South Africa. Sorry, that was a bird. We have a big financial mismanagement crisis by our government. They have demonstrated that they waste a lot of the money that taxpayers pay to them in revenue. There's no need to increase that revenue because a lot of it will only go down the drain. So instead, cut tax and look to things like BEE premiums. We still make that case to the EFF. Raising taxes is definitely not the way. On the apartheid tax thing, look, I think we already pay reparations. If you actually think about it, we all contribute towards land reform projects despite their own failures. Again, mismanagement is also one of the failures included in the reason why land reform projects have just been dismal failure. Also, the fact that government actually starves these farmers of actual support. But we've already paid a good chunk of the apartheid taxes back in land reform projects and grants, you know, to help people who are still marginalized today by apartheid. And so it's so unoriginal, to say the very least.
Yeah, and you know, it voids the central problem here, which is that South Africa is just straightforwardly overtaxed. You've already got a relatively small number of very high earners paying the vast majority of taxes in the country. You've already got very high corporate taxes, which you know, the EFF wants to raise, that is driving business away and is comparable to developed countries, and yet you know, our level of services is not comparable to developed countries. So this is, in many ways, just as bad an idea as raising VAT. And the truth is, there is a lot of waste in government expenditure. There is a lot of inflation of the costs of things through, as we call them, the BEE premiums. And that's where you should be targeting to get the money, because that's the greatest value proposition that'll impact the least number of people's lives. It will hurt the economy the least and will actually put the country on a path to growth. More taxes, just different from VAT, is not the solution.
No, and this, I understand the suspicion of the private sector in South Africa, given our history, but I wish that the EFF would apply that same suspicion to the government. Right, she says the companies are lying and misrepresenting how much revenue they're making. And I was just saying before the show that the Minister of Finance said shortly after the first budget speech delivery fallout that companies in South Africa on average pay higher taxes than the average OECD countries, right? These are your Japan, America, South Korea, Canada, France. Those countries have, on average, less company taxes than South Africa. And yet we are more desperate for jobs, far more desperate for growth than those companies are. And we think the solution is to make it increasingly hostile to do business in South Africa in hopes that somehow these companies are just going to stick around. It's incredibly delusional and, yeah, completely unoriginal, to say the least again.
Yes. All right. Let's move on to our next story. The Transport Minister Barbara Creecy was answering a question asked by Build One SA's leader Musi Maimane in Parliament about the COVID-19 relief for the taxi industry. And about 408 million rand is being given to the taxi industry. This has been budgeted in the most recent government budget in order to basically pay taxis back for the time during the COVID lockdowns when they were effectively banned by the government from operating or limited in how much they could operate, you know, number of passengers and that kind of thing, that cut into their bottom lines. Build One SA has been very disturbed by this and say that there isn't proper accountability in how the money's been spent and why should taxis get all this money when they don't pay that much in taxes. Those are some fair points, I guess. But I do actually have sympathy for the taxi industry here. The government literally did get, you know, effectively ban or severely restrict their work. And many of them might have gone out of business. I do understand very clearly the concerns about handing out big piles of money, because one knows when the South African government starts handing out big chunks of money, it has a tendency to find its way into the pockets of the politically connected rather than necessarily the most deserving recipients. But be that as it may, in sort of principle, I kind of see the point of why one would do this. I don't know, McCorney, what's your take on this?
When you think of COVID rules, the social distancing, you know, people can't go to work, they have to stay at home. Those are all the ways in which you could go and launch a direct attack on the taxi industry. I mean, taxis are fairly confined, very limited spaces. You know, you often sit on top of the person that's right next to you in many of those taxi rides. And I'm pretty sure that their businesses were incredibly harmed by COVID regulations. So you're absolutely right, Nick. I also share in that sympathy for taxis, and that surely, just as other businesses were also afforded the opportunity to receive supports through the COVID relief grants given to businesses, and I understand that there was some looting there. So, yep, that was there. But so too should taxis be able to qualify. And I think Musi's questions to Transport Minister Barbara Creecy should be answered, questions about transparency and accountability, so that we don't repeat the first cycle of COVID grant reliefs, which resulted in certain funds being diverted to line the pockets of politicians. So these are questions that I hope the Transport Minister will be able to address and introduce fiscal measures to tighten those controls, those financial controls that see to the payments of these funds. But I do not see why taxis should be excluded when other businesses who took a hit were afforded that opportunity.
All right, let's move on to our last story. And this is, of course, one of the biggest stories about the direction of the country, and that is that the International Monetary Fund has reduced its growth forecast for South Africa, and to be fair, almost every single other country in the world. And this is due to the disruption to the global trade system caused by the United States' new tariffs. South Africa's growth prediction from the IMF was reduced to 1% for this year, estimated to rise to only 1.3% next year. Now, to be fair, in the reporting here, the IMF doesn't talk a lot about South Africa's own reasons for why growth might not be good. But I think this does, to some degree, reflect the failure of the GNU to implement the kind of economic reforms necessary so far to actually change the country's direction. The sort of status quo has remained in effect. And that is causing, despite the fact that there's been this positive upswelling of sentiment, it's already dissipating. And without those real changes, we're not going to see a reduction in poverty, reduction in this crippling clamp on our economic growth that government policy has been. Your thoughts, Makona?
We already know what the government is going to come out and say in response to this, right? This is the global economic environment and the knock-on effects thereof. This isn't our own doing. We should absolutely not accept that as a way of continuing in South Africa. We should still demand more of our politicians. What are we doing in South Africa to ease the burden on companies so that they're still able to create jobs, still able to make a lot of revenue despite all the global economic pressures? Things like the Employment Equity Amendment Bill and the introduction of sectoral targets are not helping. And if you think about all the trade war and competing of tariff, raising tariffs, how is South Africa positioning itself to investors and saying, hey, we are friendly here. We're a good environment for doing business. We produce conducive environment where you can bring your company here and not have to suffer a lot of those sporadic, unpredictable trade changes. Are we positioning ourselves as such, or are we just waiting around for when we take a knock on growth and then are ready to produce the excuse that, you know, this is Trump's doing and this is China. This wasn't anything we had much control over. I think we know that those are the reasons we're going to be told, and we should not accept them. There's still so much that can be done to make growth possible in South Africa, despite all the financial chaos or global financial chaos.
No, that's exactly right. And this is also why one needs to have good economic growth in the good times, so that when the bad times come, and they always do come, that you're ready and you can resist it. You say, look, our growth has fallen by half of what was projected. It's fallen from 6% to 3%. That's much better than where we are now. And if only we had such a luxury. I mean, the most optimistic projections don't even put us at 3% in the next couple of years. The sort of, as you say, the excuse making and the, you know, playing the victim and kind of thing, I think belies the truth, which is that we actually have far more control over the situation. And this is yet another incentive for government to take the clamps off of business and actually start moving in the other direction. And so far, it has shown absolutely no desire to do such a thing, which is why so that society, political parties, everyone must continue to put pressure on government to change direction, or else the country is going to be stuck in exactly the same place. All right. I think that's all for today. Thank you very much for watching. We hope you found this show interesting, and we will be back tomorrow with the Daily Friend Show. Cheers, everyone, and have a wonderful day. The Daily Friend Show and the Daily Friend are a project of the Institute of Race Relations, the IRR. The IRR is a think tank which was founded in 1929 to study race relations in South Africa and works to change government policy to improve race relations through non-racialism and to ensure the prosperity of all South Africans. If you like our work and would like to support us, please go to irr.org.za and click Support the IRR. Or you can go to thedailyfriend.co.za and click the Fund Us button.